words today. Do not be afraid, little ones. It is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And now we'll enjoy Prelude. My Jesus, I love thee. Jacob as heirs of that promise.
They too followed in faith, seeking God's realm.
God calls us to join them as heirs with the faithful.
We come here in faith, assured by the hope that was fulfilled in the lives of your servants.
Please join in the opening prayer. God of light and love, you take delight in your creation. Ignite our spirits to worship you with sincerity. Illumine our minds with the truth of your word. Inspire our hearts to seek your treasure alone, that our hearts may be pure and our actions may be noble and just as we share your love. Through Jesus Christ, our hope and promise, we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the opening hymn, Take Time to Be Holy.
Thank you. Gracious Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers that we might know that you are with us. Almighty God, we give thanks for the rain, for the coolness of the day. We give thanks for crops and vegetables and fruits that are growing. Lord, thank you for these blessings. God, we give you thanks for the passage of time, for this world that continues to spin, for anniversaries and birthdays, for new marriages and new births. God, we give you thanks, and we pray blessings upon those who we've lifted up, that they might have good, full, and happy lives. Lord, we pray for those who are in the hospital. We pray for those who are suffering or those who are recovering. Lord, give them strength, give them peace. May it be that they will be healed and that they will be whole. God, we lift these things up to you. We ask that you hear our words, but more importantly, that you know our hearts. God, whatever we have now, we bring before you. Those things we've said aloud, those things quiet and heavy on our souls. Lord, we pray them. And we ask that you give us peace and hope and fill our hearts with love so that we may be ready, no matter what, no matter when, to serve you and love one another. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so with the love of Christ, I invite you to pray the prayer that he's taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And amen. Kids, I think it's time to come on up.
Don't know me, do you? No. My name's Addison, and I'm going to be the new Family Ministries Coordinator. So I get to be here every Sunday and hang out with you. Lucky you, I know. That's so exciting. So, as a little icebreaker, I thought we would play a game. Sound good? Yes? Okay, cool. All right, go ahead and stand up. If you guys ever played Simon Says? Alrighty. Adults, if you would like to play, feel free to stand up if you're able. Alrighty, so, you guys ready to get started? Simon Says, clap your hands. Stop. Guys. Alright, Simon Says, touch your head. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Tap your head. Oh. Simon Says, spin around. Oh. Keep spinning, keep spinning, keep spinning. Oh my goodness, you guys. Hello. Simon Says, jump up and down. All right, stop. All right, Simon Says, stop. You guys can sit down. Good job, everyone. How you doing? All right. So I like Simon Says. Do you guys like Simon Says? No. Is it because you're not very good at it? I'm not good at it either. So Simon Says, sorry, I have a cheat sheet because I'm nervous. So it can get confusing when we don't really know what Simon is telling us, can't it? Almost like it can get confusing to listen to God all the time. So, when God tells us to do something, we should follow it right away, right? Right. But what if we can't tell if it's God telling us something? That can get confusing, right? So, is it okay if I teach you guys a prayer that I use to help me hear God better? Yeah? Cool. Alrighty. Let's clasp our hands, bow our heads. Amazing. Hey, God. Thank you so much for loving me and using me in your plans. Please help me hear you clearly and follow you when you call. And all God's people said, amen.
Today's New Testament scripture is taken from Hebrews 11:1-3 and 8-16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old. Because he considered him faithful who had promised, therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better homeland, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. At this time, we will have special music, Be Thou My Vision, by Sarah Fillmore.
sir. Friends, I would invite you to stand as you are able and join us in our next hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour, found up on the screens. Gospel reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Friends, this is the gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action. Have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Friends, thanks for bearing with us. I'm going to turn this mic on, and if there's a little bit of feedback, try not to cringe too much, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to use this mic. Good? All right. So this sermon illustration, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, this parable, could have been told a slightly different way. What month is it? It's August, right? Okay. And what's starting to just come on the vines and the stalks? What food are we finally just about to partake from? Tomatoes and sweet corn, right? I know. Well, sweet corn's been around for a little bit, right? But here's a story that I've heard that has stuck with me. So someone planted a patch of sweet corn. They did everything right. They got the dirt and the soil to the point where it could grow it well. They took care of it. They built a fence around it. They even put it in a block so that it would actually pollinate itself instead of just two long rows. They watered it. They looked after it. When the wind blew hard, they came out again and straightened it up. They took care of that thing exactly like a mother or a father would care for a child. So it comes to the time where sweet corn needs to be harvested. And they're watching and they're waiting and they're anticipating, and they know it could be any day that that corn finally is ripe enough to pick, to boil, and slather with salt and butter and everything else good that goes on sweet corn. Amen? Amen. So they wake up and they can feel it in their bones. Their gut is telling them today is the day that that sweet corn needs to be picked. And so they go out and they look. The deer had not gotten it. The wind and the hail had not gotten it. The drought had not gotten it. They go out and they look. And what do they find? They find an empty stalk, and if you look closely enough, they find raccoon tracks. Because the raccoon had just known instinctually, and the thing about raccoons is, when are they awake? At night. It had come, it had stolen that sweet corn. Just when it was ripe. So, just like the Son of Man will come at a time when we least expect it. Amen? Amen. See, as we continue to reflect on what it means to serve, there's this parable that comes up about being ready, about having our lamps lit, about not knowing the time when Christ is going to come. Now, of course, this passage probably is talking more about Christ's first coming or his crucifixion. That time when he was going to go to Jerusalem, do what needed to be done, and open up a way for men and women and children and all of us to be saved. There's also undertones of that second coming. You know that Advent song, that Christmas song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, the one we sing just about every year, where we know that even though Christ is here, even though his Holy Spirit is with us, there's still this sense of waiting for when Christ truly returns. That's probably how you've heard this preached before, and that's no less true, but it makes me wonder. Here and now, as we serve God and one another, what does it mean for us to be ready? Whenever, at a moment's notice. Now, that raccoon story, it might be true, or at least I've heard someone tell it, and so I'm going to assume that it's true. And you all knew that I was going to say that the coons got them, so therefore it must be true, right? Or at least you know someone who's experienced that. But for those of you who have gardened before or grown crops, there's another truism that is, quite frankly, absolutely true. Whenever you go on vacation, what happens? All your tomatoes come on at once. And it's usually that Monday that you leave. As soon as you get out of the driveway, they all turn red. We don't quite know when things are going to happen. The best we can do is guess. And this is why Christ says, keep your lamps lit and ready, because it might happen at any time where someone comes up to you in need. Or it might happen at any time that a need presents itself to the whole community. And so the question is then, how do we actually be prepared for a time like that? Friends, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Anyone? No one? The sun will come up because God is good. Hallelujah. And that's about all I know. That's about all any of us truly do know. So this talk about preparing for a future, it's hard to decide what actually we have to prepare for. If you know you have a musical piece to play, what do? You practice. If you know that winter's coming and that your stores are going to be a little bit low, what do? You stock up. You take the cabbage and you put it and make sauerkraut, right? I don't know about that. Well, I do. I like sauerkraut. But when there's a challenge in front of us that's easy to point at and put our finger on and say, this is what needs to be done to meet the day, it's easy to look and make a list and sit down and plan and prepare. But when the challenge is a little bit more nebulous, a little bit more cloudy, a little bit more unknown, which, frankly, I think is what Christ is talking about here. And I think it's where we find ourselves in our lives and in the life of the church today is, what is the challenge that we face today? And I'm going to be here and I'm going to tell you, there are lots of challenges to face today. And each person is going to have probably a slightly different one. And not only that, but each person is placed in a different setting than each other. Given different gifts and abilities, given different knowledge and passions so that we can meet those challenges. So the question still remains, what does it actually mean to be prepared? What is that base? What is the essence? How do we live up to what Christ is encouraging us to do? Any answers? I wonder. There's something about music. And sorry, Sarah, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. There's something about music, or there's something about giving a message to kids, or there's something about anything we do. I've noticed that you can practice as much as you can, but until you really feel comfortable, until you really feel confident, until you really can step out and your heart is in the right place, what are we filled with? What are we filled with? A little bit of worry? Musicians, how many of you have ever worried before you've gotten up and performed something? Just about every musician is raising their hand, by the way. Who has ever given a speech, whether at a function or a wedding or anything? Who's given one? Do you get those butterflies in your stomach when you have to get up in front of people? Even preachers, friends. Even preachers. 7, 8 years on. So what do we do then to help our hearts and our souls and our guts be in a place where we are truly prepared as Christ asks us to be? Especially as we reflect on what it means to be prepared at a moment's notice to be servants to people. How many ears do you have? Zero? Go ahead. How many ears do you have? Two. How many mouths do you have? One. I know you've probably heard this time and time again. I'll probably say it until I enter the grave. But we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. As I've tried to teach my kids on long car rides back from vacation, sometimes your mouth doesn't have to keep going the entire time. Amen? Amen. We've got two ears, hopefully, to hear. See, friends, in many ways, this is how we prepare to be servants. We prepare to be able to hear people when they talk, to hear their words coming out, but more than that, to really try and listen to what their heart is saying. I had a conversation with one of my uncles the other day. He's someone that he's currently in the ELCA church, but he goes on mission trips. They have a sister diocese or a sister conference over in Tanzania in Africa. And we got to talking about what does it mean to be in mission? What does it mean to serve one another? What does it mean, especially as we leave our communities and go other places? And I'm sure you've all heard those questions and those conversations about you get a group together, you go, you build a house, or maybe you serve some meals, and then you come home with that mission high, and eventually you ask yourself, what did we actually do? And did we do that thing that Wesley calls us to do at the beginning? Did we do no harm by going there? Has anyone been there on a mission trip before? It's a fairly contemporary conversation right now. How do we help one another and truly help each other? That first part is what? Listening. We have to listen to one another. And not only the people in this room or the people in our community, but the people that we don't associate with often. The people that we are called to help. The people that walk in the door and you say, I'm sorry, I've got to go get my tires changed on my van today. Like, what do you need? And make it quick. Amen? Listening, friends, that practice is the first step to being prepared. And the second one's a little bit more difficult. It's almost Nora speak. A little bit more harder, right? A little bit more difficult. How many of you have had errands that needed to be run, and then someone walks up and says, I need some help? And I'm not necessarily talking about people out on the street. How many of you have had children where you're in the middle of a task, be it laundry, changing your oil, making dinner, they come up and they say, I need you to do something. When?
Now.
Or, how many of you remember when you were kids? And you were doing something and you were into it. You were invested and you loved it. And your mom and dad come up and what do they say? I need you to clean your room. I need you to wash the dishes. I need you to do a chore. When?
Now.
That's a difficult thing, isn't it? And yet it shows us that it's a heart issue. As we serve people, being prepared to serve whenever, wherever, because like those tomatoes, like that corn, sometimes the moment passes. It takes a little bit of humility, a little bit of flexibility. The ability to say, okay, this can wait. Sometimes things can't, but oftentimes they can. And I think my wife will tell you I'm pretty guilty of this a lot. Let me finish my task first, and then I can help you. Let me get done with whatever I was doing, because my mind only works in like two gears. Really, really fast, and we're just solving problems and crises, and really, really slow. And we just got to plod along and get the thing done. But I realized something this week, and it's a little bit like this right now. If you're online and can't see her on the radio, I've got my, how old is she? 18 months? Is she two yet? I've got my two-year-old daughter here. She's wandering up and back and forth and back and forth. And it's an image of what and how we are to be. This time won't last forever, and I know you all know that. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But sometimes the important things in our lives
it's easy to miss them. It's easy to wake up one day, look at your kids and go, when did you get so big? Or to, you know, plod along and get through your schooling and wake up one day in your 9-to-5 job and go, gosh, where did the time go? See, as we learn to be servants with each other, as we learn how to prepare to serve one another, as Christ says, whenever, in the middle of the night, at the break of dawn, it's these two things that help. Can we listen? Can we practice listening, truly listening to each other? And can we practice setting our own desires aside, not in an unhealthy way, don't be a doormat, friends, but can we practice some patience? If we do those two things, I think we'll be amazed to find that it doesn't matter when someone comes and asks for help. We will be ready. May it be so. May our hearts be ready to love, and may our ears be ready to hear. Amen. Amen. Never served communion in the basement before. You ready? First time for everything, right? Friends, it is time for communion, though. And I love this moment in the church where we get to remember that we are connected with one another. That even if it's a small table, we share a table. And that all people are welcome here. Whether you are miles ahead in your faith, whether you are just starting, whether you are unsure or absolutely convinced, you are welcome at this table. If you feel like, for whatever reason, you can't necessarily take communion today or are uncomfortable taking communion today, go ahead, come up. We'll come around this way in a circle. Cross your arms and we'll give you a blessing because you are welcome here. You are invited to partake of this celebration. Friends, this isn't my table. This isn't the table of the United Methodist Church. This is the table of the risen Christ. And we are so glad to share it with all of you. Amen? Friends, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have so loved us that you have sent your Son. Not only your Son, but you've sent your Spirit. And not only that, but you've created us from dust, from dirt, from mud and clay, and breathed into us the breath of life. God, we give you thanks and we praise your name, knowing that it was through your love and your teaching and your suffering and your death and your resurrection that we have been blessed now and forevermore. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so with all of those here today, all of those dispersed online and on the radio, all of those who have come before us, all of those who will come after us, I invite you to raise your voices with us as we proclaim the unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Friends, on the night which Christ offered himself up for us, he took simple gifts of bread and of wine and blessed them. He took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he said, take this and eat. This is my body broken for you.
Eat this as often as you can in my memory. And in the same way, after the meal had ended, he took the cup, blessed it, poured out the wine, and said, "Take this and drink. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you can in my memory." So, friends, in memory of these mighty acts, let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Friends, would you pray with me once more? Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts, these simple gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Lord, make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world until you come again in grace and in glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray all of these things, saying, Amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord, and you are welcome here. We invite you to come forward and take of the bread and of a cup and join us as we celebrate our salvation.
Thank you.
you are loved by God. You are loved by this church. And if you leave here today without knowing that, well, let it be known. You are loved by God, and you are loved by this church. And all the people said,
Amen. Amen.
Friends, we invite you to stand as you are able and join us in our closing hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, verses 1 through 3 up on the screens. It's in an insert. If you don't, it's up on the screens. And this is one of those moments I was talking about. You know how long it's been since I've held a baby and ran service? Friends, I invite you to proclaim with us our hope and our ideal as we affirm our faith as servants. We are called to serve everyone and everything in the name of Christ for the glory of God and the salvation of the world. Every single day, everything we need, the Spirit will give. So may we, here and now, have the courage to share our wealth with those in need and be ready to serve at a moment's notice. May we hold fast to the good news of God's love, seeking grace and life over laws devoid of compassion, so that the Holy Spirit might renew the face of the earth through the hands and the hearts of the servants of Christ, no matter the cost, no matter the work, no matter the way, till kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so. Amen and amen. So friends, may the Almighty God bless you and keep you. May your ears hear, may your hearts love, and may your spirits be ready, no matter what. Go with God, and God will go with you. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, next service is at Loomis Park. It's the boathouse, isn't it? It's that first one on the north side. You'll see us and you'll probably hear us. But same time at Loomis, hope to see you there. If it rains, we'll be back here. But go, enjoy your Sabbath, and rest. Today, our service is ended.